A long time ago was a very wicked king in Russia. You probably heard his name in different stories. Unfortunately, the stories are always about how wicked he was. And his name was Tsar Nikolai. Tsar means the king. Nikolai was his name, and he was Tsar Nikolai the First. We had in the other story the king Rudolf the First. Well, this was Tsar Nikolai the First. Now, what made him so bad? Exactly what made him so bad, we probably don't know. But he was very, very wicked, especially towards the Jews, and made the Jews a lot of trouble. And in fact, like Antiochus, or like Paroi, and like these evil kings that we know about, he wanted to get rid of Yiddishkeit. Actually, it's more like Antiochus than Paroi, because Paroi... No, it's more like Antiochus than, let's say, Haman. Antiochus, he said, I don't care if there's Jews as long as they don't keep any Torah mitzvahs. Let them be just like the Yavanim. Now, Achashverosh with Haman, they wanted to get rid of the Jews completely. Now, this Tsar Nikolai was more like Antiochus. He says, look, I don't care if there's Jews, but let them be exactly like the people of Russia. Let them eat the same food. What do they have to have kosher food? Let them have the same kind of clothing. Why do they have their special clothing? Why do they wear those tzitzis and those yarmulkes? Let them wear a Russian hat and that's it. And why do they have those beards? Let them look like a Russian. And why do they have those schools, those yeshivas? Let them go to the public school. And why do the little boys go to the cheder? Let them go to the regular school, like everybody else. And why do they work? I'm sorry. And why do they close their store on Saturday and they call it Shabbos? Let it be open like all the Russians. Let it be the same. And unfortunately, he made a lot of gzeiros, a lot of decrees against the Jews. And the worst one, and the first one, Baruch Hashem, it didn't work too good, was about the Russian army. Now, how many boys know that every country, most every country, has an army? You have an army? You have to protect your people or go to war or whatever an army does. Now, how long does a person go to the army? It could be 2 years, it could be 4 years, it could be 1 year, sometimes maybe it's 3 years, you know, a few years. They go to the army, they serve their country, sometimes they go back once in a while. And how old is a person when they go into the army in different countries? Could be 20, it could be 18, it could be around that age. Now, Tsar Nikolai decided a good way to make his army to be full of people and also get rid of the Jews at the same time, and he was very happy with himself for this, he said, we're going to take away Jews to the army for 25 years. 25 years, and that way, if they're in the army, they can't go to a shul, they can't go to a yeshiva, they can't go to do anything to build a sukkah or to get a lulav and esrog. They just have to be like all the people in the army. But that wasn't bad enough. He says, you know how old they will be when we take them to the army? Not 20 years old. We are going to get them when they're 7 or 8 years old. Can you imagine? 8 years old, or maybe 7 years old, and you have to go away to the army for 25 years? And he sent his generals and he sent his officers to find Jews. And now this is true. It's very sad. Hopefully the rest of the story is not so sad, but it begins with sad things. Do you think the Jewish boys want to go to the Russian army? No. Of course not. But these officers and generals would find a Jewish boy on the way to the yeshiva, on the way to cheder. They're walking, they're going to yeshiva. And all of a sudden they would say, come with us. You have to come with us to the king's army. And no, we're going to the Shiva, we're going to the cheder to learn Torah with our Rebbe. Oh, no, you're not. And they would take them away and send them on a train far, far away. And the parents are wondering, where is my boy? He went to yeshiva today. What happened? Why isn't he coming home? Oh, bad news. Soldiers took him away to the army and they sent him far away in a train. Oh, my little boy, what's going to be? And you know when the next time he came home was? 25 years later. Can you imagine not going home for 25 years? And this is the kind of a Russia was this Tsar Nikolai. And he expected when the boys go away for 25 years, they'll forget that they're Jews. They'll forget about their Yiddishkeit. And they'll be just like the Goyim. And they'll be in the army. And that way, when the Tsar goes in the Jewish neighborhood, he will see no more of those Jewish people. He'll only see Goyim. He'll only see, you know, Jewish people will disappear. Because all the boys are sent away to the army. And the next time the Tsar took a trip to the Jewish neighborhood, everywhere he sees beards, and he sees Jews with yarmulkes, and he sees tzitzis, and he sees long coats and hats, and he hears people speaking Yiddish, and he sees boys carrying sfarim, and they're going to the shul, and they're going to the yeshiva. Hey, wait a minute. I thought I got rid of all these Jews because I sent them away for 25 years to the army. And here is men, and they look like they're, you know, back from the army, and they look like Jews again. What happened? You know what happened? Even though he sent the boys away, do you think they ate the non-kosher food or they ate the kosher food? Kosher food. Do you think they forgot to daven in the morning or they yes daven in the morning? Do you think, Chas v'Shalom, they forgot about the Eibishter, or they remember the Eibishter? Do you think that they did not, Chas v'Shalom, keep Shabbos, or they had Mesiras Nefesh to keep Shabbos, even in the army? They kept their Yiddishkeit as well as they could, and when they came back, they still were from, most of them. And the king had sent galachim to go and dray their cup. Do you think they let the galach dray their cup or they didn't listen to the galach? They didn't listen to the galach. And Tsar Nikolai sees that his plan is not working to wait. Tsar Nikolai sees his plan is not working to send the boys away for 25 years. It didn't get rid of their Yiddishkeit. In fact, it got stronger even. They had so much Mesiras Nefesh. And so Tsar Nikolai made a big meeting with his big officers and generals. How can we get rid of these Jews once and for all? Now, he had an officer named Officer Uvarov. Officer Uvarov, that was his name, Uvarov. And he was in charge of all the schools. And Officer Uvarov says to the king, you know, Tsar, your decree of sending the Jews away to the army began when they were like 8 years old, right? The king says, right. 8 years old and they go away to the army. But it didn't work because they kept their Yiddishkeit. And Officer Uvarov says, look, I'm the officer in charge of all the schools. May I suggest, instead of waiting till they're 8 years old to get rid of their Yiddishkeit, get rid of it even before they're 3 years old. And the Tsar says, I should send a little baby away to the army? What am I going to do? I have like a playgroup army over there? 3 years old to the army? No, Officer Uvarov says, no, there's a different way. Where did they learn how to be Jews? Well, a lot of them go to little cheders and little yeshivas for young kids and playgroups and kindergartens, and they go to special places where even when they're 3 years old, they learn Kametz Aleph Ah and Kametz Beis Ba, and they learn about Hashem, and they learn stories about tzaddikim and all these things. And this makes them to be very, very frum. And they kush the mezuzah, and they wash Nagelwasser. And the Tsar says, well, I don't exactly know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know these things. But how can we get rid of all this? Okay, so Officer Uvarov says, let's make a gezeirah. Of course, King, you will make the gezeirah. You're the only one that can. To close down every school for Jews, every yeshiva, every cheder, every playgroup, every daycare center, every girls' yeshiva, every class, every learning group, every shiur. And no Jew is allowed, even a little baby, not to kush the mezuzah. Send spies around. Babies shouldn't kush the mezuzah. They shouldn't wash nagelwasser. Mommy shouldn't make a bracha with them. Get rid of Yiddishkeit from the little kids. Then they'll never grow up to be big kids that have Yiddishkeit. And Officer Uvarov said that would be a good idea. And the king says, okay, let's make a meeting to discuss it, how we could do it. And we might as well shut down all the shuls. And we might as well shut down all the Jewish places completely and get rid of Yiddishkeit. Now, they made a big meeting. There were two tzaddikim that found out about this meeting. One of them was the Tzemach Tzedek. Everybody knows that the Tzemach Tzedek was a grandchild of the Alter Rebbe, right? The Alter Rebbe had a daughter named Dvorah Leah, and her son, his name was Menachem Mendel, he was later called the Tzemach Tzedek, and he came after the Mittler Rebbe. There was the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, and the Tzemach Tzedek. Okay. Also, another tzaddik, Rabbi Yitzchak of Volozhin. There was a town called Volozhin, and Rabbi Yitzchak went together with the Tzemach Tzedek, and they found out about the meeting. Go ahead. And they came to the meeting together with the officers and generals and Officer Uvarov and the king. And they said, Jews go to Jewish schools. Little boys go to the cheder. Little girls go to the girls' yeshiva. Big boys go to a big boy yeshiva. Big girls go to their big girl yeshiva and their seminary. And Yidden keep Yiddishkeit, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we still are good citizens of Russia. We still keep the laws of the king as long as they're fair laws. Because the Torah says, Dina de Malchusa Dina. If the king makes a law, so the Yidden also keep it. They respect the king. What do you have to close our schools for and take away Yiddishkeit? There's no reason. It makes us to be good people. And the king starts screaming, I'll do whatever I want, and you can't tell me whatever you want. I'm going to do what I want because I'm the king. And you have to listen to me. I'm the king. And the Tzemach Tzedek and Rabbi Yitzchak of Volozhin say, yes, we're the king. We have to respect you. But we have a higher king who's the king of the whole world. And he's the king of all kings. The Melech Malachi Amalachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibishter. And if you start up with that king, you'll never win. And the Tzemach Tzedek and Rabbi Yitzchak of Volozhin warned him, you will not be successful because your Gezeirah is against Hashem. And Hashem will help the Yidden that we won't have to, Chas V'Shalom, listen to your Gezeirah. And the king with chutzpah said, I am the king and everybody listens to my Gezeirah. And of course the Tzemach Tzedek and Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin say, you're only the king of Russia. You're Tsar Nikolai. Yes, you're a powerful king. Who made you a powerful king? Hashem himself gives you the power to be a king. Even you should thank Hashem. But you're not in charge because you're only the little king. Who's in charge? The little king or the big king? Who's in charge? The big king is in charge, and that's Hashem. And Tsar Nikolai says, you can't do anything to stop me. And of course, the Tzemach Tzedek and Rabbi Yitzchak of Volozhin and all the Yidden would say to the Tsar, we have Hashem and Hashem has his ways, even when things seem impossible. And the meeting was finished and everybody had to leave. And of course, the Tzemach Tzedek and Rabbi Yitzchak of Volozhin and all the Yidden were davening that with Hashem's help, this terrible decree will not come to be. That's the koyach of tefillah. If a king makes a law, a decree, does it have to be that way? Or we could break it? Well, how do you break it? You find the law and you break it? Well, if you're lucky, maybe you could. Well, you get the kids to learn Torah, and you get the tatis to daven and say tillim, and the mommies to give tzedakah and say tillim, and everybody should do mitzvahs, And this koyach goes and can even break. This koyach goes and can even break a gezeira from a big king like Tsar Nikolai. The next day, the king made a meeting with Officer Uvarov and his biggest officers and generals, and he said, "It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what time it is. That's what the clock says. You will make a decree. Of course, I will sign it. It'll be my decree, but I'm not going to sit here and make it up. You have to make it up. After all, you're officers. You have to do something in the palace to stay here. So you will make a decree to figure out exactly how to close every Jewish school, every cheder, every girls' school, every yeshiva, every Talmud Torah. And while you're at it, every shul and every kosher place and every Jewish place, that the Jews will have nowhere to go for their Yiddishkeit whatsoever. They'll have to stay home, and whatever they do in their house, you'll also say they can't do. No Torah, no mitzvahs, no Shabbos, no Yantiv, no Rosh Chodesh, no Purim, no Pirim, no nothing. Let's get rid of all the Yiddishkeit, and that way they'll be just like the Russian Goyim. They'll look like the Goyim, they'll talk like the Goyim, they'll eat like the Goyim, they'll walk like the Goyim, they'll be just like the Goyim. Call them Jews, who cares? They don't do anything Jewish, only like the Goyim, like everybody else, same school, same everything." And the king says to Officer Uvarov and the other officers and generals, "I will give you 12 hours. Which means that at 2 o'clock in the morning, at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is 12 hours after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you will have the decree written and ready. And I will just have to come and sign it with my royal signature, my royal stamp and my royal signature." And the king says, "Go to the room of the officers, and you will not be allowed to leave until it's finished. And it better be finished in time, or else you won't go home at all. I'm going to send you to Siberia with the penguins and the wolves and all the snow animals. And you're going to live up there by the North Pole. Or maybe I'll do something worse to you, because I want it done, and I want it done in exactly 12 hours and not later." "Yes, king, yes, king." And the king says, "In the room next to the officer's room is going to be refreshments, delicious food and drinks, in order that you should have enough power and energy to make a really good decree. So whenever you want something to eat, you can go over there to drink, and then you'll go back in the room of the officers, and you'll work on the papers, you'll work on the decree, and you'll figure out exactly how to do it, and I will be there in 12 hours or else." "Yes, king, yes, king." And they go now, they run down the hall to the officer's room, and they start figuring out exactly how they should make this decree to close every school, every yeshiva, every Jewish place in all of Russia. And all of the officers, and all of the generals, and all of the important people, they got busy writing down how to close Chas V'Shalom all the chadarim and all the yeshivas and all the girls' schools and all the seminaries and all of the kosher places and all the mikvahs and all the shuls and the whole Russia. And they're working and they're working and they're working, and they say, "We should not stop even to eat or drink, because we don't want to be even 1 minute late when the Tsar comes in at 2 o'clock in the morning." And they work from 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7. Did they stop to daven mincha? Of course not. They're goyim. Did they stop to daven ma'ariv? Of course not. They're just working and going and working till it became 12 o'clock at night. Is it 2 o'clock yet at night or 12 o'clock? It's midnight. Of course, the bell goes bong, bong. The clock rings 12 o'clock midnight. And the officers said, "We have finished 2 hours early. We're finished. Everything is done." And the final copy was written down by the scribe who writes down. And the gzeira was finished. And they put it at the head of the table. 12 o'clock, boys, the gazeta was finished 2 hours early. And the officer said, let's go to the next room. Now, the next room was open to that room, like a doorway, like over here, between here and there. It's like two rooms, but, you know, it's a doorway. Or from that room to this room. So you could see from one to the other. They said, you know what? Let's put the gazeta, the decree, at the head of the table, and let's go eat and drink, because we haven't had anything to eat or drink the whole day. And all the officers go into the other room, and there's a nice table full of good food and good drinks. And of course, there's wine, and of course, there's mashke over there. And they start to eat and drink, and they start to feel good, and they start to relax. And all of a sudden, a few minutes later, maybe about 5 minutes after 12, or maybe 10 minutes after 12, all of a sudden, the trumpet blows. Beep, 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 beep. Now that trumpet, of course, there's all kinds of different trumpets that the kings, you know, in their palaces, different sounding trumpets mean different things. That is the sound of the trumpet that means the Tsar is coming. That he is coming into the room. And the officers say, wait a minute. The Tsar said he was coming at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's only 12, a few minutes after 12. I wonder why the Tsar is coming now. It's early. But if he's surprising us coming early, we could be proud. We're finished with the gazeta. The doors open, and the Tsar himself entered the room to the great surprise of everyone. And the Tsar looks at the officers. The officers look at the Tsar. They don't know what to say. They're not going to say anything. They wait for the Tsar to speak. Tsar Nikolai does not say a word, but he goes over now to the table, to the head of the table, and he sees the gazeta, the decree that was already written. He picks it up and he starts to read it. And of course, the officers are very happy and very proud, because they're sure the Tsar will be happy with them that they finished it so fast, and maybe even give him a big reward. All of a sudden, the Tsar says, this is a decree. This is garbage. This is no good. He tears it up. He takes it over to the fireplace, and he throws it in the fire, and it burns up. And the Tsar turns around with an angry face, and he walks out. Now, the biggest general who was in charge of this whole thing, his name was General Uvarov. He was the biggest general, the biggest officer, and the biggest troublemaker of all of them. And Officer Uvarov says to all the other officers and generals, the king did not like our decree. We'll have to make a new one. And all the other officers get nervous. We only have about 2 hours left, and it took us 10 hours to make that one. Oh, what are we going to do? We're in big trouble now. If the king comes back at 2 o'clock in the morning and we don't have the decree, what's going to be? General Uvarov says, look, the king was upset. He didn't say why. Rather than to make a new decree that the king might not like anyway, we will ask the king when he comes back, please tell us what you did not like, and we will finish it, even if we have to work the whole night into the morning. We will make it according to the way the king wants it. Because if we do it ourselves now, we might make the same mistake or a different mistake, because we don't know what the king didn't like, and then he won't like it again and again, throw it in the fire. So they decided they will not make the decree. They will ask the king what to do, and they will do everything the king says. And they went on to the table. They went back to the table, eating the delicious food and drinking the wine and the mashke. And they got again in a good mood. And of course, they got a little bit, you know, feeling good from the wine and the mashke. 2 hours went by, and all of a sudden, the clock strikes two. Ding, ding. And all of a sudden, the trumpet blows. Beep, 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 beep. That's the trumpet that means the king is coming. And all of a sudden, the door opens. Shah! Isn't that relaxing? It must be a therapy. shock therapy, where you scream. All of a sudden, the Tsar Nikolai comes into the room, and he walks over to the head of the table, and there's no decree there. And he says, where is the decree? It was supposed to be ready at 2 o'clock, and now it's 2 o'clock. Where is the decree? I want it now. I have given you 12 hours to work on it. And of course, the officers are very surprised. What do you mean? And Officer Uvarov, who is the biggest officer, says, King, we only had 2 hours. And the king screams, what? What do you mean 2 hours? 12 hours. From 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the morning is 12 hours. You can't count? You can't count up to 12? The officer Uvarov says, King, but it was from 12 o'clock at midnight till now. It's only 2 hours. The king says, what are you talking about? I gave you 12 hours. And Officer Uvarov says, but King, you were here 2 hours ago and you tore up the decree. You didn't like it. And the King Nikolai, Tsar Nikolai says, what are you talking about? Are you dreaming or something? I wasn't here. I was asleep in my bed. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, a few minutes before, my guard outside woke me up because I told him to. I said, wake me up at 2 o'clock. And now I came here at 2 o'clock. And you're supposed to have the decree ready. And if not, or else. And now I'm getting upset. And Officer Uvarov says, with all due respect to the king, not only I saw you here, but all the officers saw you here. You were here, King, and you threw the gzeira into the fire. You didn't like it. And the king saw that all the officers were nodding their head yes. And they would not have the chutzpah to all of a sudden make up such a lie. And the king says, wait a minute. If I was sleeping in my bed, how could I be here? That's impossible. But on the other hand, everybody saw me here, and you wouldn't have the chutzpah to make up such a lie in my face and make such a baba maisa. I don't know if he used the word baba maisa, but this is what he meant. He says, maybe somebody in the palace dressed up like me. And everybody said, including the guards outside, that the Tsar himself had come and nobody else. And the Tsar says, how could that be that I came and nobody dressed up like me? And now he called for his guard that was outside of his room. And he says to the guard, weren't you standing outside of my room the whole time from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the morning? So how can all these people say over here that I came into this room if I was sleeping in my bed? Weren't you staying the whole time guarding my room? And the guard all of a sudden puts down his face and starts to cry. He says, King, it was very difficult for me to stand there for 12 hours straight. So around a few minutes before 12, I all of a sudden had to go out for a few minutes. I mean, you understand, I had to leave my position by your room for a few minutes. And I came back a few minutes later. I hurried as fast as I could go. And the king says, what time did you leave my room? Well, around 12 o'clock, and I came back about maybe 7 or 8 minutes later. And Officer Uvarov says, King, that's exactly the time you were here. And the king says, that's very strange. It could be that all of a sudden in the middle of my sleep, who ever heard of sleepwalking? There are people, this is true, in the middle of their sleep, they will get up and start walking around. In fact, I don't want to mention names, but there's somebody that used to get up in the middle of the night, go to the kitchen, walk down the stairs, open up the refrigerator, and eat everything in the refrigerator. They used to eat so much, then they would go back to sleep, and in the morning they would wake up, and they go down for breakfast, and there's no food. They say, where's all the food? And they did not know that they themselves ate it up in the middle of the night, sleepwalking. And that person to this day has a big lock on their refrigerator that in case they get up in the middle of the night, there's a lock over there, and the key is put away in such a place that they cannot get it, even sleepwalking. And Kinilok, this is the end of the story now. Let's finish quickly. The Tsar said, I once heard from my minister of intelligence, my big officer of smart things, that it says in the Jewish Torah, in the Tehillim, it says that the God of the Jews does not take a nap and he does not sleep. It must be that I was sleeping and I was taking my nap, but in the same time, the God of the Jews was not sleeping. He wasn't taking a nap. And he must have made me sleepwalk over here, and I must have picked up that decree and threw it in the fire. It must be like the Tzemach Tzedek and Reb Yitzchak of Elojin say, I'm only a little king. I'm not the big king, I'm a little king. It looks like the big king was taking care of them, and he did not want me to do all of the things I was planning to do.